What were Jesus' temptations? What did he experience? Let's dive into them and really get a sense of what he experienced and how that's important for us. So the first temptation, after being in the desert for 40 days and not eating, he was hungry. The devil said, "Command these stones to become bread." Makes sense. If you're hungry and you could do it, you could have food. Boom, done, right? Well, there's two different levels of temptation in this that's worth noting. The first one is the devil's encouraging him to take his power and use it for himself, to make bread so that he could eat. The other side of the temptation is eating is a form of gluttony, that if he made all these stones into bread, he could eat and eat, consume as much as he wants, again, like taking it into himself, which is the first core one that I want to talk about. That's gluttony. Gluttony is the desire to consume more and more things and bring them into oneself. Excessively consume. That's the point of it. So the devil is tempting Jesus not only to use his power for his own sake, but to use his power to bring things into himself and focus exclusively on himself. That's that first temptation. What about the second one? The second one is he took him up to this high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world at once and said, "All this power is mine. It could be yours if you worship me." And Jesus, knowing what is going on, he recognized in that there's a temptation to take the power he already has and diminish it. Because Jesus has power over everything, not just the kingdoms of the world, but the entire universe and time and space and everything. So by saying to the devil, "I'll worship you and take on this part of my power," he'd actually reduce himself and be less powerful than he was before. And in the same token, bring all the power to himself, focus on himself alone. But Jesus did not do that. He said to the devil, "No." But what he was doing is the devil was trying to encourage him a lust for power. Normally when we think of lust, we think of it in a sexual sense. But I want to expand it far beyond that and look at lust as a way of taking an object or a person and making them an object of our control. That's what lust does. It says to the things of the world, "I will make you under my reign. I will make you my control." And that's how lust for power works too. We see the things that should not be in our power and go, "Mine, I want that," and bring it into oneself and make it our control. The third one doesn't fit into that, but it still is worth noting. He took him up to the parapet of the temple, the highest point, and said, "If you are the Son of God, God's going to protect you, right? Throw yourself down, show it." This is pride. Pride is saying that I don't know if I trust, I don't know if I believe, and to show it, I'm going to work towards myself to prove it to myself. That if I throw myself down and God catches me, I know, yep, he was going to help me. It's not an act of trust. Jesus turns that around and says, "No, I don't need to put God to the trust. I know he would take care of me. Therefore, I have no reason to take on your temptation." So out of the three of these, the two I want to focus on this week are gluttony and lust. Next week, we'll focus on pride. Yay! So let's talk about gluttony in a more broad sense to really get a scope of this vice and how it works. So as I mentioned a moment ago, gluttony is taking things in excessively. And the example I want to use is that wonderful TV show about hoarders. Hoarders are the people who have taken so much stuff into them that their houses are so full of things they can barely move. And that's the extreme of gluttony. We've taken so much into ourselves that we're not free anymore. We're so confined that we're locked into the space of all the things that surround us. And our goal is to become free of that. Other forms of gluttony, the most common one, is food. That's what we think of. Eating and eating and eating to excess. But this can also be TV, media, video games. I know this one from my past. 12 hours of video games is quite a bit. It could also be just anything. Anything that we take into excess is considered gluttony. The way we move out of that is we work towards abstinence, fasting, and charity. That's the way out of it. I'll talk more about that in a moment. Lust, on the other hand, is very similar to gluttony. The only difference between the two is where gluttony brings in lots of things, lust focuses on only one thing. I want that. That I will bring under my control. That I will bring into my life. That I will have my control over. So we can think of it in many different contexts, like lust for power, lust for an object, lust for a person, and that's saying, you are now an object of my desire, I will bring you into myself. Believe it or not, four of the Ten Commandments are based on lust. The fifth one, obviously, don't commit adultery. That one's pretty obvious. But then there's also, don't covet your neighbor's wife. Don't covet your neighbor's things. Don't covet your neighbor's animal. Coveting is a desire built out of lust. Interesting. 4 of 10. So what do we do with this? I don't want to leave in the sense of like, oh, woe is me, what do I do? Our goal is to move from these vices, to recognize them into a life of virtue. And the virtue connected with gluttony is abstinence, temperance, and self-control. The virtue connected with lust are chastity, obviously, temperance, and self-control. That what we're saying is, here's all these desires for things that I want, and I'm going to say no. I'm going to hold them off. So we have this wonderful season called Lent in which we do things like fasting. What does fasting do? It gives us a moment to say, that thing that I like, if I stopped using it, what will my life be like? Will it get worse? Will it get better? Well, I now exhibit a level of control over it that I didn't have before. So that now it doesn't control me. I control it. I can say to it, no, not right now. I don't need you anymore. My life is fine without you. The same thing works with lust. No, I'm not going to control that thing or person. I'm going to be free from it. I don't need it. Both of these are very similar to each other. And so as we recognize in our lives the places where we take things in or we try to control things, we can now back off for a moment and start to exhibit the virtues, self-control, temperance, chastity, abstinence, and say, how do I become free? Because that is our ultimate goal. Our goal is not just to go, whoa, I have so many sins in my life, what do I do? No, I do something about it. I work towards that freedom that Christ wants to give us. A beautiful example of charity that comes out of our first reading is when Moses says to the priest, here is the offering of your people to give to God. This idea of offering is our understanding of charity. When we recognize that I don't need so many things, we are now free to give them. When we realize I don't have to bring things into my life or control things, I now have the freedom to use them at a different discretion. I can give them over to God, what we call tithing or giving a contribution, and realize I don't need so much. God will provide for me. I have excess. I can now help the people around me. And now we're growing in charity. Now we're expressing those virtues that I talked about. So how do we get there? That's the important route. So first of all, we have to recognize them. What in my life is truly gluttony? What is it that I have to keep consuming or I feel bad about myself? Like I need it and I have that craving that can't be satiated. Or things that I lust after, I have to go and grab them for myself. Oh, okay, I recognize them. Awesome. Now I have to do something. First and foremost, this comes out of the book called Spiritual Combat by Father Scopoli. He said, whenever you recognize you've been in sin, eventually you're going to stop, hopefully, then you kneel down and you pray, Lord, forgive me for what I have done. Then you say, thank you, I have not gone any further. Because technically we could keep going all day in that, eating and eating and eating all day long, but at some point we stopped. And we call that a grace, that God stopped us. So we thank him for the grace of having been stopped. And then we get up and keep moving on with our lives. Because the danger is, if we get caught up in these vices, they'll actually build a sense of guilt that we can't move on from. Our goal is to actually move from the guilt outward into the freedom, that we recognize the difficulties and move to something better. That's the goal. So the goal in this is recognize our faults, recognize these things in our lives, and then work towards the virtues that we may truly become free. Because we have to remember, Christ did not come to say, you poor sinner, you're dead now. He said the opposite. You poor sinner, you are forgiven. Let me show you the life that I want to give you. Let me show you the freedom that comes with being my people, that knowing of my mercy will bring. This is the core of it. This is what's important. We're moving out of these things into the freedom God wants to give us. That is our goal. And that's why we start here, and we constantly work to recognize, root out these things, and accept God's mercy.